So Steve Shuttleworth is running for town council of Carolina Beach. He has served there since 2011. Thanks for joining us, Steve.
You're welcome.
So my first question is just, why are you running again for town council?
I'd like to finish some of the projects we've been working on and that I helped start over the last number of years. I enjoy serving on the town council and working for the community. I think it's one way that I can give back to my hometown and something that I enjoy doing.
And the town is in the process of adopting a new CAMA land use plan. How do you feel this process is going, and what would you like to see included in this plan?
I think the process is moving through as expected. We set up a ad hoc committee with a variety of different stakeholder representatives, and they've had a number of meetings. They've had public meetings and surveys and forums. And then the draft comes out and everyone reads it and says, oh my goodness. The CAMA land use plan is required, and we haven't done one in about 10 years. So anytime you talk about changing uses and heights and densities and setbacks and configurations, it stirs up a lot of emotion and a lot of passion on both sides of an issue. So I'm not surprised that we've had the feedback that we've had. I think we're still a little way out from completing the project. The things that are important to me is to continue to achieve the balance between business interests, including the tourism business, and their full-time resident that's in Carolina Beach. And we've had a lot more people move there full-time, and they are seeking different things, perhaps, than business owners and the tourism industry is. And that's always been the conflict at Carolina Beach, and it's something that takes hard work to keep that balance, to keep the small town feel, but still accept and embrace different changes and growth.
Yeah, and you have a background in real estate, correct?
I do. I've been a licensed real estate broker for over 30 years in Colorado, and also for about 12 years now in North Carolina.
Your LinkedIn says you have a primary focus on mixed-use developments, which for our listeners are combinations of commercial and residential space. And just some more background context for our listeners. In Carolina Beach, 50% of a mixed-use building's footprint must be devoted to commercial space in order to be approved. And then, as you know, a developer has requested the town amend the rules to allow just 25% to be dedicated to commercial uses if the property is located within the V flood zone or areas that are prone to high-velocity wave action. So this week, the town council voted on this item. Were you for or against this request, and why?
I was for that request and made the motion to approve it. I do believe in mixed use. I think it's important in the commercial business district to have some different uses, and we've seen some tremendous additions to our community recently. For example, Seacoff finished a mixed-use building with a Fork and Cork restaurant on the main floor and residential units above that, and they're in the process of building a second building that'll have some commercial with residential above it. The specific application that was presented to the town had to do with oceanfront property, and because we have setback lines and we have impacts from the CAMA on the VE zone, which is the high velocity flood area, you cannot enclose any of that area. It all has to be a breakaway wall. So by requiring 50%, a developer or property owner could not achieve that. So we said you would only have to do 25% of the first floor as commercial in the AE zone if you were on the ocean front. And that gets very technical, and it only affected about 9 or 10 properties. Mm-hmm. But those are all along the boardwalk area and just on the north and south side of the boardwalk in the central business district area. So it's a positive for the community. It retains the ability to have that mixed use, which allows residential upstairs, but requires some commercial on the ground floor.
Yeah, how else do you think your background in real estate, you know, ties into your role in city council?
Well, the majority of what council deals with is in the budget arena, mm-hmm. and in giving staff, the manager, some guidance on a variety of issues. It's helped me understand land use and what's happening with those changes, and I understand when homeowners come as a realtor, I understand homeownership and how that is impacted by different things, short-term rentals. As a land developer, I understand some of the issues that are revolved around property rights and how development industry wants to try and maximize a return. So it's been beneficial. My development expertise or experience, rather than expertise, just experience, is beneficial in my role with the utility infrastructure that we're putting in, we started, and one of the projects I'd like to see to completion is the infrastructure replacements that we've done. We did about a $30 million bond several years ago, and I was leading that encouragement to have the town do it so that we could replace 50-year-old infrastructure of water and sewer and stormwater. Stormwater remains the most significant issue for our residents to deal with when it comes to flooding. So my background has helped me understand how we might be able to phase that and where in town we could start to do that and why it's so important.
Yeah, the issue of short-term rentals, I know that's been a hot topic. What would you say your stance is on that? Are you more like for, against, somewhere in the middle?
That is probably the single biggest topic that is on the radar but really hasn't percolated up as dramatically as I think it will. My position is I'm going to kind of wait and see where the legal shakeout comes with Wilmington, Asheville, and some other places, including the State House, what they're going to legislate. It's a very tough issue for both private property rights wanting the ability to provide short-term rentals and increase income on your own personal property, and also protection of property rights for the neighbor that lives next door that doesn't want to be have their peaceful enjoyment encroached upon. And it's a balance, and that's going to probably be one of the toughest issues to deal with. I don't know that there's a perfect solution to it. I personally live on the north end of Carolina Beach in the middle of a lot of condos and short-term rentals. I knew that when I bought there, so that does not concern me. However, I have a number of friends and other residences that have come to me and said, we just aren't comfortable with it in the neighborhoods back where we live. You know, that has to do a lot with the older neighborhoods. And some of the newer ones down in the southern part of Carolina Beach. So it's a tough issue. I don't have an easy answer for it. I'm kind of walking that fine line between the private property rights and of being able to do it and the private property rights of peaceful enjoyment.
Another different, this is not a new topic, to kind of break away from our discussion on real estate and short-term rentals and all that, but on your campaign Facebook page, you shared a post saying, make a commitment to embrace bicycling and walking as legitimate modes of transportation. How have you committed to bicycling and pedestrian transportation improvement, and how would you uphold that commitment moving forward?
Well, first of all, I serve on the Wilmington MPO representing Carolina Beach, so I'm very involved in how that occurs both regionally and then locally and then within Carolina Beach, and have been a staunch advocate to help us obtain some of those grant dollars to increase our multimodal trails, the one on Cape Fear, the one hopefully we're going to approve on Clarendon, and several others throughout the town. Personally, I've kept my teenage kids from buying cars yet and making them ride their bikes everywhere. I believe strongly that we need to continue to work on pedestrian accessibility. We've done an awful lot in the last number of years on council to increase the number of high visibility sidewalks, flashing signals to warn drivers to stop and slow down for pedestrians in the crosswalks, trying to get the bike trails finished and completed and connected. There is a personal commitment in our lifestyle on how we do things at our house, as well as my endeavors on the MPO and through council.
What are your reasons behind that? Like, why do you view biking as so important?
Well, we have a lot of congestion
in
Carolina Beach. And when you go from 6,000 roughly, plus or minus, full-time residents to 25,000, 30,000 over the summer and some weekends, it gets very congested. And anything you can do to relieve that and help with the parking situation and just the amount of traffic out there. Plus, it's good for you. And you enjoy the community a lot more when you're walking and riding, or at least I do. One thing I would like to see happen, which has just been an uphill struggle, is our friends at Sunny Point or Matsu to allow us to have some kind of single-track off-road bike trail in their property. They have just been resistant on anything over there. So the next option would be to maybe ask the state park if we could figure out a way to do a single track over there and allow mountain biking in the park, which they don't currently do. And I think those environmental ecotourism activities are going to be great for our community and great for our residents.
Yeah. All right. So we're talking about a lot of hot topics here. And another hot topic is the fact that the town has been through two town managers in the past couple of years. It appears that the town is going through a politically unstable period. What would you do to change this?
Well, I don't know that it's politically unstable. I would suggest to you that I hear this a lot, that we've gone through so many managers. And if you look at the average town manager is somewhere in that 5 to 6 year period. we made a change a number of years ago, and that particular manager came, and he had a lot of great background in infrastructure, and he did a fine job on that in getting us started. And at the end of the day, the relationship between the manager and some of his staff members and some on council and are hitting the mark on some of our construction projects as far as timing just wasn't workable and acceptable. And so at that point, we chose to part company. And the current council went through a process of interviewing a number of different candidates. We selected a candidate. He did an outstanding interview, very personable, great background, a lot of energy, very intelligent, and came to town, and we just missed the mark. And so we made a relatively quick decision to terminate that relationship. I've been in sales for a long time. He was a great salesman. He sold us on his ability. He sold us on his personality and his energy and his ideas. And it ultimately just wasn't the right fit for the town. So you can take a long time to make those decisions, or you can make a decision and just pull the Band-Aid off quickly, mm-hmm. which is what council elected to do. We're in fine hands right now with our interim manager. We are actively seeking a new manager. You get a myriad of responses and requests from the citizens saying we need a manager that has a finance background, we need a manager that has coastal experience, and we need a manager that's for half the pay of what you paid the last guy, we need a manager that has a 6 month probation period, we need a manager that doesn't get a golden parachute. And I would agree with all those things. However, when you look at the candidate pool that's out there and what the going pay scale is and what the compensation packages are for our community to be competitive, there are certain things that you have to offer. And unfortunately, one of those could be a short-term termination. So I've had a number of my friends call and say, hey, you know, with that kind of termination, can you hire me for 90 days? And I appreciate their sense of humor and their prodding me, but the reality is it's a serious issue. The manager runs the town. The council sets policy and direction, and the manager executes. Council has several key individuals that report directly to council, and those are the only individuals. That would be the town manager, the town attorney, the town finance director, and the town clerk. Everyone else, all department heads and all individual employees report to the manager or their direct supervisor. So it's always, in a small town, difficult to keep council out of personnel issues. People come to us and say this and this and this, and it's just not council's role to do that. Our role is to help guide with policy. So we're looking for the right manager.
Yeah, and you talked a little bit about what, you know, you've heard from residents, what they want in a town manager. What do you want in a town manager?
Well, I would like some of the same things. I would like to have someone that has some financial analysis abilities to keep an eye on the budget, a better eye on the budget. Not that we've had a bad eye on the budget. The last manager I was very excited about because we were at a point where we wanted to do an infrastructure project. And we're well underway with that infrastructure project. And a lot of that's in place and is going to continue through with our bond and identifying what needs to be done. As a conservative, one of my concerns on the budget is our revenues have increased dramatically over the last 7 years, but all of our expenses have increased at the same pace. And I just always find that a conundrum, that we can't seem to squeeze more use, can't stretch our dollar farther or save a little bit more. And it's been difficult, and we try every year. There are some areas that we've been able to carve back, but it's been difficult. So I would like someone that has coastal experience is always important. And then also this time for me, it would probably be someone on the finance side.
So on your bio that you provided us with, you say you're active in the community, supporting many nonprofits and time and donations. What nonprofits are these?
Well, there's been a few. I've done a little something for the bike rodeo. I give to Pleasure Island Sports for the Michael McGowan, I love to sponsor and help participate with the Intergalactic Wamparama, one of our local eclectic events that's always a lot of fun. A big shout out to Alex. And this last couple of years, they've been providing all those proceeds to the Surfrider Foundation, which I think is a great organization for our community in helping advocate beach water access rights. Also, you know, there's Little Pink Houses and Houses of Hope, and, you know, I'm active in my church, Carolina Beach Elementary School. I was a founder on the Montessori Charter School. I'm trying to think. There's a number of different places that people call me and ask either for donations or for time.
You're on a lot of boards and committees. How does this experience tie into your role on City Council?
Well, the broader your experience is, it brings that experience to council when it comes time to hear a policy issue or formulate a direction that the town may want to go, or to be able to hear from your residents. And it also exposes me to a lot more residents in different areas. You know, whether it's the Wilmington MPO, which is important for transportation infrastructure throughout the region, or the Ports Beach and Waterway, which helps us keep sand on the beach and keeps the inlet open. You know, I like to be active. I'd like to be more active with the Carolina Beach Inlet Association, but it's a well-run organization with a lot of local members that advocate very strongly for the inlet. The most important things that we're working on would be our beach, you know, making sure that we have the ability to put sand on the beach to help shore up the dunes whenever we need them, to protect that infrastructure behind it and work on the inlet.
So moving forward, you know, say you secure another seat on council, what do you think your number one priority is if you had to choose one thing?
In terms of issues, Freeman Park. And the most important thing I would continue to work on is securing an extension of the authorization of our federal permit for storm damage reduction, which is known as beach renourishment. That's the single most important thing that needs to happen for Carolina Beach to make sure that we're moving forward with a permit in place with the federal government as a participant. Otherwise, we're going to be looking at a reallocation of who's paying and doing it locally, which would put a burden. The federal government currently is paying 65%. It's going to move to 50%. But if we don't get the authorization to do that, then we'll be on our own and be working just with the state and the county. Freeman Park has been a priority for me for a number of years. I would like to see it as a park, the whole thing. We have continued to work with visitors to Carolina Beach to improve the experience at Freeman Park, and that's a significant issue for me.
All right. Anything else you wanted to say that we haven't been able to talk about yet?
No, just that, you know, I've really enjoyed being on council. I think I bring a lot to the table. There are a lot of issues out there. But overall, the town is in great shape. We've had one of the best summers we've had. We have fantastic staff that have done a great job just with this little storm we had last week. I know it wasn't little for some of the folks in the Outer Bank. It was devastating. Mm-hmm. For our community, the impacts weren't as dramatic as perhaps Florence was last year, or certainly not as Florence was last year. But our staff is on the game, and they continue to work hard, and I think our community is in good shape. And I'd like to continue to serve and continue to help move it forward.
All right, great. And I've been speaking with Steve Shuttleworth, who is running again for Town Council of Carolina Beach. Thank you so much for joining us, Steve.
Thank you.